Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, we'll take them and turn to Genesis chapter 3. I think fitting, even with the song, thinking about the love of God and what He's done for us. And when we consider Genesis chapter 3, compared to the sin that we commit, and understanding the contrast between the love of God and the sin, what it cost, I think it should hurt us, and that's what we're going to kind of be looking at. Before we do this has nothing to do with our message, but I had to share with you. You know how sometimes God has a way of just keeping you humble. So Friday night, I was with the boys. Some of the teen boys took off, went to Maggie Daly Park, and so we're sitting there at the concert, and I thought, well, you know what, we could go terrorize the boys, get them in trouble. So some of the, my daughter, some of the other teen girls, I said, hey, you want to run over, we'll catch the boys, see if we can get them kicked out of Maggie Daly Park. So we're heading over there, can't find them, and then all of a sudden, I see them, and my daughter, being the gracious daughter, trying to help dad, says, hey, there's a fence. Well, there was a fence that was around these trees, like a caution type thing. And I'm like, in my mind, thinking, well, duh, all right? And so I take off running towards the boys. I'm gonna tag Jake, all right, and just kind of tackle him. But there was a fence. So I went flying. I mean, flying. And the girl, I look back, and of course, I landed ninja style, all right? It's like, phew. But I mean, I was sprawled. I mean, there was blood coming down here, blood coming down there. I still have a bruise where the fence hit me. And I went sprawling, and I got up and I thought, yep, okay, you're not the man. All right, but, and all of Chicago sitting there like, who is that loser running through the park? All right. Well, anyways, that had nothing to do with our message, but I wanted to share that with you. All right. We're going to be looking at the idea of sin tonight. John Bunyan said this, one leak will sink a ship, but one sin will destroy a sinner. And a poet, Alfred Lloyd Tennyson, I thought this was interesting. He said, sin is too stupid to see beyond itself. And there's a story, and I thought this was fitting with this. There's a story of a man. I might have shared it before, but this was about 13 years ago in the papers in Cape Town, South Africa. And a man who owned a home, Cape Town is pretty well off. He came home early, I guess, from his work, and he found that 9 men were burglarizing his home. He chased. The 8 of them started running. One of them, he tossed into a swimming pool. Okay? The man tossed into a swimming pool. All right, all the other 8 are running away. The man in the swimming pool, the owner looked down, and the guy's screaming because he can't swim and all that. So he jumps in, saves him, pulls him out, and the man who he just saved pulls a knife on him and starts yelling for the other 8 guys to come back because he has the owner. The owner pushed him in the pool. All right, that's what he did. And I thought of that because you think of how stupid sin is. You think how stupid sin is, and we go back to it. And we go back to it, and we go back to it. And that is the passage this evening that we're going to read, Genesis chapter 3. Look at, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. I have to stop there in that verse because that is one of the most silly things that I've ever heard. Here is God. All right, I don't know what theology school Adam went to. Obviously, he didn't go to ours because he would have known that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, all this type of stuff. He would have been really good in his theology because, just so you know, hiding behind a tree is not going to hide you from God. You would think, they'd be like, oh, God can't see me. It's like a little kid. It's silliness, isn't it? So that's in verse 8. And then, verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And remember, God's not doing that because he didn't know. He always asks questions to reveal something. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? How hast thou eaten of the tree? Whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Notice the connection between those two. It'll come in handy when we're doing some application later. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it? What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look for a few moments at this idea of sin, I pray that it would sink home to us and understand that sin put our Savior on the tree. And because of our sin, tonight as we take the elements, the bread and the blood, it should remind us of Christ's sacrifice. It cost a lot. Lord, help us to have a heavenly hatred for sin. And we'll thank you for what you do, Lord. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's three simple points this evening. We see it started out. We know the story. We're very familiar. But before we take the elements, I thought it would be very important for us to look at the idea of sin. Because sin put Christ on the cross. Sin has cost you everything. Then why do you tolerate it? Why do you put up with it in your life? Even myself, as I've been reading about this and studying it and even listening to sermons and working on it, it's just convicting that I would allow sin in my life. And you should be convicted that you would allow sin to take hold. Why? Because it cost God a lot to get rid of sin. It cost a lot. It cost his flesh and blood, Jesus Christ, to come down on this earth. And we just say, that's my besetting sin. Sin needs to become ugly to us. Three things as far as sin. First of all, look at chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, look at what it says, your eyes will be open. All right, now, was he lying? If we go down, I heard thy voice in the, notice in verse 7. So was he lying? Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open. Not necessarily alive, but this is what you got to understand. The first thing with sin affects the eyes. It's going to change your perspective. And so as a young person sitting here, that's why we preach so hard against sin. All right, I can tell you of older folks that I've dealt with here in this auditorium and then young people that I've dealt with, and guess what they talk to me about? And normally it's a man, and normally it's a young man, and they're talking to me in the area of purity and about immorality. And they made the mistake either many years ago when there was no internet and it was a magazine, and now it's in the age of internet, and they made the mistake of looking at some things they shouldn't have looked at, and it affects their eyes. Because guess what? Even though their eyes are closed, they still see stuff. And that's why as a person here, as a man here this evening, why would you tolerate it? Why would you put up with it? Why would you even click on it? And you say, oh, you know what? It's not going to affect me. Sin affects the eyes. It's going to ruin your life. It's going to ruin things down the road. And you say, no, it's not. Well, you're going to see it in this passage. And the devil's going to come to you and say, God is tricking you. He knows that your eyes are going to be open. Yes, they're going to be open. It's going to be open to a whole new wicked world that you don't want to be a part of. And you're going to try to claw and get your way back out of it. And it's going to take a long time. Because sin affects the eyes. You'd say, well, wait a minute. I don't understand it. Just a little bit. So how little bit do you want of sin? Read of a man. He was a railway brakeman. And in Missouri, he spent 4 months in a hospital because a tarantula had bitten him on the tip of this middle finger. Just on the tip of it. At the time of the tarantula bite, he felt a twinge of pain. He paid no more attention to it. But then the hand started to swell. Soon his whole hand and arm were swollen to three times their natural size. Bit by bit, he would go into the doctors. They'd try to deal with it. But the wound refused to heal. Finally, his entire hand had to go. Listen to this. After 29 amputations, they finally stopped it. Now, that is a vivid picture for you and I to see that, you know, what's going to happen is sin's just going to keep taking and taking and taking and taking and taking. And so how many times? How much more of your life are you going to have let the devil cut off? How much more are you going to give him? Because this is what I can tell you after years of dealing with teenagers, after years of dealing with adults, guess what I can tell you? Sin affects the eyes. And then all of a sudden you're going to say, it's my parents. It's the church. It's this or that. It affects the eyes. Because what comes through your eyes affects what you think. It affects what you do. Sin has an effect. The second thing that we see in this passage, sin affects the eyes. But then notice and down in verse 11 and 12, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to me. And all, you know, we go through that. So sin affects the eyes, but sin offers excuses. Right now, you could be a young person. Right now, you could be an adult. And you say, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, my life's okay. I got a good job. I got this or that. Excuse. 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 Because sin will always have a good excuse to keep in your life. Sin will always come up with an idea why you can keep it there. But I don't understand. What good is this sin doing you? What's this little pet? What has it given you? What has it offered you? You know it hasn't offered you anything good. You know it hasn't given you any real satisfaction because every time, if it's in the area of morality, every time that you click on something, you walk away and you almost throw the phone down or you almost smash the computer and you say, why did I do that? That's the effect of sin. And then, one day later, you know what? I don't know that I really have to get rid of the computer. I mean, I don't know if I really need to get rid of that phone. Oh, I don't know if I really have to. You know what I'll do? I'll just drink in moderation. You know what? I'm not that bad. Sin will always give you an excuse. Sin will always have something reasonable. I'm a reasonable individual. Come on, can't we sit down and reason together? Isn't that what the Bible says? Let's reason together. Actually, that's God talking to you. Okay. But the devil, he knows how to put a couple of scriptures together to help you out. And what you have to be careful of is sin will have an excuse for you that sounds pretty good. I mean, you know what? It also, remember what we said, it affected the eyes. How did it affect the eyes? She saw the tree. It was good. Now, I don't know. You know, we always see the picture of the apple. I don't know if it was an apple. I mean, I'm actually thinking, being down in, the Caribbean area, and then you go over to Asia. I mean, they have some unbelievably better fruits than apples. All right, so I'm thinking like a really ripe mango or something like that. So is that good? Yes. But God said no. And that's what you have to understand. By affecting the eye, you're going to say, wait a minute. And the eye and the excuse come together and it says, wait a minute. I know that there's some good there. I mean, I've heard people say, you know what, there's good. There's good cable. So what type of, where's the good at? Oh, you're saying Fox News, the ones that have the ladies that dress horribly. Oh, yeah, but I don't look at that. You're stupid. You know what? You're just acting stupid. You know, why don't you just sit down with the serpent and have a meal with him? All right? Or you can come up with any excuse, but the eyes, then they offer an excuse. Oh, it's good. It's going to make me wise. You can come up with all kinds of excuses, and it's going to ruin you. Sin offers excuses. But then look at verse 17. We see that. Look at verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree. And notice what he said, of which, where does it boil down to? I commanded. Sin boils it down to this. Sin, one of the definitions I think in Romans, is the transgression of the law. And there are some things that it's not really vague in the Bible. It's not really hard to understand. Now, this is what I can tell you. We always say this. It's God's simple plan of salvation, but it's not necessarily always easy. It's simple. And living the Christian life can be simple, but I'm not going to tell you it's always easy. Why? Because this flesh, man, it wants to take over. But what you have to understand is not only sin affects the eyes and sin offers excuses, but sin is expensive. There's a price tag on sin that you are not seeing. You're not seeing the price tag because the devil has it hidden. And most of us that are sitting here have been in Christianity long enough, when we've been in church long enough, when we've been at it long enough, that we can give you dozens of people and dozens of folks that, guess what? They thought sin was worth it. And sin is never worth it. It is super expensive. In fact, you don't have enough to pay for it. How do I know that? Because your debt of sin sends you straight to hell. You try to walk up to heaven and pay your way into heaven. You can't do it because sin is expensive. You can't pay it. But we celebrate tonight that someone paid it all. And that's the expense of sin. Sin is so expensive that nobody sitting in this room and nobody sitting in any church across the world today could pay for it. You could collectively for thousands of years get every Christian. You could get the Apostle Paul. You could get the Apostle Peter. You could stand them up here. We've been talking about Josiah and David and Daniel. You could line up this platform and none of them can pay for sin. But Jesus did it in one sacrifice. And he loved me so much when I couldn't pay for it, he died for me. And then guess what I do? I spit in his face. I spurn him. I say, guess what, God? Your sacrifice, your blood. You know what? I know it's expensive, but do it again. Isn't that kind of what Hebrews talks about a little bit? How much sore punishment? When we as Christians spurn the blood of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for our sins and of all people, we should be so grateful and say, God, you know what? It doesn't matter. In the whole span of eternity, what is 70 years? What is 70 years in the span of eternity? Not much. And so if God comes to me and he paid for my sin and I look out at something and God says, you know what, for you, that sin. Am I going to turn to God who the rest of my eternity I get to live in heaven and say, oh, that's not fair. Think about it. What kind of ungrateful Christian are you? That all of a sudden you had no way to pay for your sin. You had no way to get to heaven. All you could offer God was rags. And Jesus Christ paid it all for your sin. And then you come to him with a bargaining chip. You come to him and say, well, you know what? I don't know. You don't offer him anything. But Jesus Christ on the cross paid it all for me. Man, that should just thrill us. And if God comes and if he said, you know what? The rest of your life, I want you sleeping in a suit. All right. Why? Is that really that so unreasonable when for eternity I get to be in heaven? Just spin it around sometime. Because some of us, we look at God and say, he's so demanding. Oh, come on, get off it. So demanding. In fact, according to the Bible, according to Paul in Corinthians, what has he given me? Liberty! These guys out in this world, they're wanting freedom and they're wanting liberty. They think it's license. They think it's whatever they want to do. No, I have liberty in Jesus Christ and it came through his blood. Man, I can then think pure thoughts. Oh, I've met some men shackled in sin. And you can see it. I can remember dealing with a man, and I really believe that he was under the oppression of demonism. And I can remember handing him the Bible. And his hands just shaking. Because he had no control. But when Christ saved me, he broke all of that. Devil has no power. Devil has no control. And he's going to slip into my life. He's going to slip into our family. He's going to slip into our church. And he's going to offer you something to your eyes. And he's going to offer you excuses. But remember, it's expensive. There's a price tag on it. And so we need to have the courage and say, God, you know what? I've got to have courage enough to stand up to sin. You don't have to quake to this Satan, our enemy. You don't have to. Because God says we can be overcomers. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. And remember, that's in Romans 8, following chapter 6 and chapter 7, where he's talking about sin and the conflict with sin. But he tells us in the Spirit, you can have victory. Are you experiencing victory? Billy Sunday, the baseball evangelist and reformer, never spared himself nor anybody that helped him as far as he had vigor, he had passion against sin. He thundered against evil all the way through the Great Depression. He preached Christ until his death in 1935. And this is what he said, I'm against sin. I'll kick it as long as I've got a foot. I'll fight it as long as I've got a fist. I'll headbutt it as long as I have a head. I'll bite it as long as I have a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum them to death until I go to glory. You know what he had? A hatred for sin. Some of you are playing with it. And as you take the bread and as you take the fruit of the vine, that's a representation of what it cost Christ for what you're playing with. Have a hatred for sin. Understand it. Put him on the tree. Understand that that's the devil you're playing with, and he plays for keeps. And I can tell you of Christian after Christian that said, you know what, I'll play around with it, and they're not in church anymore. And they regret it. But they're so blinded because sin affects the eyes that guess what? They hate this place today. They hate it. When guess what? This church offers them the remedy. But Satan is a master at affecting the eye. So be careful. What do we sing? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful. Heads bowed.